Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Antares presentation. I'd like to thank the organizers here at Cowen for inviting us to speak at this meeting and tell you a little bit more with an update on what we're doing at Antares. This is a pivotal year for us. I've got to say, got off to a good start with the NDA acceptance letter we received last week for the Otrexa product. So our mission in life is to be able to develop and commercialize self-administered parenteral medicines that optimize clinical benefits with enhanced cost-effective health outcomes. And our belief is it should be as easy in the future to give yourself an injection at home as it is to take a tablet. The safe harbor statement is shown here. I'll move on. So the background of the company, we are a revenue-generating company, a specialty pharmaceutical company now, with a late stage and growing pipeline of drug device combination products. And I would say that we are one of the leaders in the field now in terms of being able to develop these drug device combinations. What we're doing is taking older drugs that can be better delivered using injection technology like our Vibex system to basically empower patients to give themselves an injection at home. We are the only company as well, we believe, with all three technology platforms that are used in this market, needle-free, auto-injector platforms and pen technologies, the type of thing you see with a GLP, for example. We've got a lot of expertise now in the clinical and regulatory side of this, and we've got a very strong intellectual property portfolio, which we continue to build, and we think this gives us a good competitive advantage. The NDA, as I mentioned, on Otrexa was submitted on the 14th of December. It was just accepted on the 26th of February. And we are looking forward to getting the approval on that one this year and launching the product soon thereafter. We also anticipate that the testosterone shot, the Vibex QST, will be entering the clinic in the coming months. And we've also initiated another program now using the Vibex technology, which we call the QSM, which we'll disclose at the appropriate time. We've got strong partnership experience with companies like Teva. We have Pfizer. We have Actavis, and in Europe, HGH product is sold with Ferring, and Elestrin, which continues to grow quite well, is being marketed by MetaPharma now here in the United States for HRT. This is the pipeline. It's broken down here into the first three products, Tevtropin, Elestrin, and Gelnake, which are marketed. These are all marketed by partners. We obtain royalties from those products, as well as in the case of Tevtropin, revenues from device sales and consumables that are used. But this pipeline of marketed products actually helps fund the self-generated pipeline, which really is the future of the company. So our leading asset there is Otrexa, which is for psoriasis, psoriasis and rheumatoid arthritis, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then the QST, the testosterone, and our QSM product. Underneath that, we have a number of assets that are being developed together with Teva. We have the Tevtropin 10 milligram product, which is expected to be approved this year. And that's important because it gives Teva access to a larger piece of the market in HGH with a higher strength formulation. We have two ANDAs on file at the agency, one for the EpiPen and one for the Sumatriptan product. We have two multi-dose pens with Teva. One of those will be an ANDA, and we're anticipating a filing of that this year. And we have a another program with Teva in a pen, which is we call Pen 2. That will follow a 505B2 NDA type of submission. And then we also have a couple of other products, one with Pfizer and one with the Population Council, based on the gel technology. So we are the only US-based company with this type of proprietary auto-injector multi-dose pen and needle-free technology. It's a platform that actually goes back probably 15 to 20 years from the origins of the company when we were one of the pioneers in making injections easy for patients. And we've been able to build on that. And I think that one of the things that I can honestly say is that this company has a very strong intellectual property portfolio around this type of technology. And it's becoming ever more complex, this field of IP here in self-injection. But Antares enjoys a long history, and in actual fact, I can honestly say that our patenting activities around our platforms and our products has never been more active. It puts us in a really good position. With the Trexup, we've actually designed a product here to make self-administration of methotrexate easy for rheumatoid arthritis patients. Importantly, all of the work we did in the studies actually used patients with moderate to severe who had compromised hand function. And that's key because these patients have got to be able to use the device in order to self-inject. And you'll see later on from the data that it was a very successful program indeed. The QST that we're developing is based on our QS platform, which is a new version of Vibex, which is designed to improve the administration and performance of complex and difficult to inject viscous injections. And there's a lot of these starting to appear out there in the biological area. There's a lot of oily injections that could be improved for self-administration at home. And I believe that our platform, which has one of the most powerful spring mechanisms out there, is actually ideally suited to this type of highly viscous medication. And then with Tevo, this is a product that partnership that we continue to progress very, very nicely indeed with Tevo. We actually are doing a number of injectable products with them. We are their partner of choice when it comes to this kind of work. And all of the work on that one is done in an engineering facility where we design and create these products over in Minneapolis. Let's talk about Atrexup, which is the product for subcutaneous injection of methotrexate for rheumatoid arthritis. Just to give you a little bit of background here, methotrexate right now is currently approved for intramuscular administration for rheumatoid arthritis, as well as oral, obviously. But the intramuscular route has to be given by a healthcare giver or actually at the doctor's office. And what we're doing is converting it to a subcutaneous route of administration that a patient can safely give themselves at home. In general, an intramuscular injection is not encouraged for at-home use. It's a compelling opportunity. It'll be the first and only subcutaneous methotrexate product for self-administration here in the US. It's going to be a single-use device. The drug is going to be given once weekly. We have four doses we anticipate launching with, which is 10, 15, 20, and 25. It's very easy to use. Three easy steps. You just flip off the cover. You take off the safety, and then you just basically push the injector down on your skin and inject even on your abdomen or on your thigh. It takes about half a second to eject the drug into the subcutaneous layer, and our instructions for use basically tell a patient to hold the device down for 3 seconds once they've actually started the process. It's almost painless, and you'll see some data later on, but we actually designed it such that the dosing volume, whichever strength you're on, was only ever going to be 400 microliters, which is a very small volume of injection to put under the skin. From a safety perspective, methotrexate is actually originally a cytotoxic agent, and our devices are self-contained, so they're designed to deliver the right amount of drug to the subcutaneous layer, and then when the injection's completed, the whole device itself contains the prefilled syringe, what's left of the drug. It's self-contained, it's easily disposable, and you're not going to have any issues with transference to family members or anything like that. It's a very safe type of product to use. And it's also addressing a very large and growing rheumatoid arthritis market, as well as we believe now we're going to obtain a psoriasis approval from the agency, which is also growing. In rheumatoid arthritis, it's a disease that affects, you've seen estimates between 1.5 and 2 million patients in the United States. A lot of those patients, 1 to 2 thirds, don't tolerate oral methotrexate. And oral methotrexate is also highly variable when it's taken in terms of its absorption. What physicians are looking for is precision when they dose methotrexate, so they're able to titrate patients up and down precisely. But ultimately, the goal in managing rheumatoid arthritis is to prevent further joint damage and prevent loss of function. Rheumatoid arthritis market today is a big market, mainly dominated by the biologicals. It's a $17 billion market. But methotrexate is the go-to disease-modifying agent of choice. And there's actually over 5 million prescriptions given out each year for methotrexate. At least 70% of those are for rheumatoid arthritis. And there's about 400,000 prescriptions already being prescribed, and this is growing for intramuscular methotrexate, which is a good sign that we picked up on early on during this program, because what we noted was that rheumatologists are trying to get towards injectable methotrexate wherever possible. What we're doing is making it easier for them to do something they already want to do. There's a lot of literature out there. It's quite extensive, particularly in the last 5 years, of the role of methotrexate as a first-line disease-modifying agent in rheumatoid arthritis. This literature has been used to support our NDA filing, and you can see there's some large studies been done here, the Braun study in actual fact, which showed that subcutaneous methotrexate, 15 milligrams per week, provided better efficacy than oral methotrexate without a higher rate of adverse events. That was a 375-patient study. It was a controlled study. And then there's other authors like Kramer, Fitzpatrick, and so on that have also shown the benefits of using subcutaneous methotrexate. And this is the reason it's important, because if you look at this graph here, what we're showing here is the systemic availability of methotrexate from an oral tablet in the light blue and the Atrexip injector in the dark blue. And at 10 milligrams and 15 milligrams, you see that the oral dose does get absorbed. In fact, in both cases, the injectable is more bioavailable than the oral. But once you get above 15 milligrams of oral methotrexate, you get no additional availability to the systemic circulation of the methotrexate. Whereas with Atrexip, of course, you're actually giving 100% of the drug to the body, to the system, and you can see that the systemic availability climbs with the higher dose of methotrexate. And it's being able to get patients into this higher dose range of methotrexate with the Atrexip product that's going to prolong the utility of methotrexate as an agent in the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. We've done a lot of results, published a lot of results on Atrexip recently, but really what I'd like to say is that we've covered the ground in terms of what the agency asked us to do. Typically in these type of programs, you do what's known as a usability study, which is a study using a dummy device where patients are actually able to use the instructions for use that come with the product, as well as the caregivers, and what we showed there that it was a very easy device for patients with RA to be able to use. We also showed that in an actual human use study, this is a clinical study involving patients who have rheumatoid arthritis self-administering themselves with the injection. We showed that the administration of methotrexate using Atrexip was very safe and well tolerated. Almost 100% of the patients were able to use the device, which is important. And we had a very low pain score on injection. And remember, this is a population that probably will have to get used to using an auto-injector at some point in their lifetime, particularly when they gravitate towards biologicals. But I can honestly say I have never seen a lower pain score for auto-injector than I've seen with the study we just conducted on methotrexate. It was about 3.6 on a scale of 0 to 100, and most patients were certainly less than 2. And also importantly, we saw no treatment emergent adverse events related to the use of the drug. This next slide, we call it Methotrexate Teaching an Established Drug New Tricks. This is actually just hot off the presses from last month's Arthritis and Rheumatism Journal. And it was a study that was conducted over 25 years, but actually looked at over 5,500 patients with rheumatoid arthritis who had received methotrexate. And, you know, when you're starting to get ready to launch a product like Atrexip, having a publication like this come out at this point in time is certainly extremely helpful. But basically what this study showed that in a large cohort of rheumatoid arthritis patients, the results showed the a lot of support for the ongoing use of methotrexate as the cornerstone of rheumatoid arthritis treatment. And what was interesting was there was a survival benefit, which was apparent at the end of the study, associated with about a 70% reduction in mortality in patients who'd taken methotrexate as part of their rheumatoid arthritis treatment, whether or not those patients were taking a biological towards the end. So we believe this is extremely important because it means that methotrexate still has a survival benefit for patients. We also have some work going on right now to evaluate the market for Atrexup in psoriasis, which is a common skin disorder. The psoriasis market today, there's a lot of patients who have psoriasis, about 7.5 million Americans have it. But methotrexate has been used in psoriasis, particularly for the more severe forms of the disease. The biological market in psoriasis is probably worth about one-third of the market for rheumatoid arthritis today. But we're evaluating this market because it does represent additional upside for Antares as a company. Dermatologists today actually do use methotrexate, and I think that the opportunity here is that they're quite familiar with the drug. There's more market development required around this asset than there is for rheumatology, because rheumatologists are very familiar with methotrexate as a drug. Dermatologists are familiar with methotrexate as a drug, but it's used after fairly successful treatments for things like with things like corticosteroids to treat psoriasis. So we actually think this is a useful opportunity for us. We'll be pursuing it, and as I mentioned earlier, we're just doing the market research to confirm the size and extent of that opportunity. We believe that in both cases, in RA and psoriasis, that the role of our product is actually going to be as a step edit before patients are asked to use the biologicals. Switching gears now to the testosterone product, which I think is going to be a large product, and we had a good meeting with the agency at the start of December last year. We're gearing up now to put this program into man. And it's the first self-administered auto-injector testosterone product for men suffering from low testosterone levels. This is a market that continues to grow. It's an over $2 billion market right now. Interestingly enough, one-third of the prescriptions in that market go to intramuscular injections. These are shots that are given every 2 or every 4 weeks. And the gels have sales of about $1.6 billion in this category. There's almost 6 million prescriptions each year now for testosterone, and it's growing at 20% per year, and it's projected to exceed $5 billion in 2017. We've noted that studies show that gel patients don't achieve necessarily adequate absorption or therapeutic responses from using gels. Patients who are using injections typically have to have a deep intramuscular injection every 2 or every 4 weeks, so you get high peaks and low troughs associated with the use of that. With our drug, given once a week actually is perfect for the frequency of injection because it matches the half-life of testosterone as a drug. And our product will be a once-weekly shot. It uses the QS device. It'll inject your injection for testosterone in less than 5 seconds, and it also contains the drug as well, so there's going to be no issues with related to transference, which has become an issue recently with the gel products. And we've also done a lot of work talking to physicians and patients, and I have to say that the product concept we've got here goes down pretty well with them. And I must say that the FDA were also very supportive of the program when we took it to them in December. So our goal here is to execute against this development program. It's going to be very similar in size and scope to what we just completed with methotrexate, and we're looking at a market launch on that one sometime in 2016. What's nice about this is that we've been able to use a technology platform which we specifically developed for viscous injections, which is the QS platform. We've applied it to our own product, testosterone, and it injects through a fine-gauge needle like a diabetes needle, basically, which means that for the patient, there is none of the pain associated that you get with a deep intramuscular injection using a rather large horse needle. So that's testosterone. I'm personally very enthusiastic about that one. I think that what you can see here is that this is the second product in a pipeline of opportunities that we are developing. Our goal here is to sell into markets where there's a highly focused call point, rheumatologists or urologists, and we believe that our strategy of developing these drug-device combinations where you add lifetime to an older drug, you've got intellectual property protecting the product with a relatively straightforward development cycle, I think positions Antares quite uniquely today. We have also gained a lot of expertise working with companies like Teva. A lot of the learning that we receive through working on Teva on some of the programs like the HGH, we've applied to both methotrexate and testosterone as molecules. Teva is a strong international partner. They already sell T-Jet here with HGH, which has become a growing franchise for Teva. When they started out with needle and syringe actually based HGH, after 3 years they generated about $20 million a year in sales. They launched our needle-free device with HGH just over 3 years ago, and it's now grossing more than $100 million in sales. We've seen quite substantial growth. Importantly, they've been limited with their success in the market by lack of availability of a higher strength version, and the 10 milligram version, as I mentioned earlier, is going to be launching, we anticipate, sometime this year. We receive margins on device sales, and we also receive a mid to high single-digit royalty on the product sales. In general, for all of our Teva programs, we expect to receive somewhere between 10 and 12% of net sales coming into Antares as a result of royalties and device sales. Our two programs with the FDA, we have two single-shot auto-injectors. One is the epinephrine pen. The other one is the sumatriptan pen. On the EpiPen, all I'll say today is that we're busy making devices for Teva. The launch date of that, the earliest we can launch, is going to be June 2015 as a result of the settlement we arrived at last year. We have two pen injectors. These are multi-dose pens, the type of thing you carry around in your pocket with a month's supply of a drug in it. We have an ANDA filing that we're anticipating this year now, and we have a 505B2 type of program that's completed all the pharmacokinetic work but is being developed over in Europe, where it will be filed first, simply because it's a biosimilar type of product, and over in Europe the rules and regulations with respect to developing these programs are much clearer than they are over here in the United States right now. Financial overview. As of September 30th, we're just about to put our financial results out. We're reporting those on the 13th of March. We have got a strong balance sheet now. We have we've raised over $53 million in October. We have $33 million on the book already. Our revenue base has grown in 2012 compared with 2011. So we've really stabilized the company. I think we've got a good platform from which to grow now. And it's a very exciting year for us. And LaRue Juesta, who's sitting here in the front row, can't wait to get the Atroxa product out to the marketplace. But we are building internal capabilities on the strategic side to manage the commercialization of Atroxa. We're building out quite quickly now over in Ewing. We're also expanding our offices over there in order to be able to accommodate the growth we expect. Currently about 45 people in the company. I think we're quite lean and mean. We would expect to be somewhere between 55 and 60 prior to the launch of Atroxa, and then we'll have a sales force which we'll be working with, which is going to be somewhere in the 25 to 30 people range initially. So that's it. That's the Antares story. I think what's unique about this company is that we are not a binary event company by any means. In fact, quite the opposite. We're a very diverse company in terms of our revenue streams today, our pipeline. I think we've got a proprietary way of developing combination products now, which means that our job is to crank as many things through this pipeline and commercialize them as quickly as possible. In 2012, we had Gelnique launched. I believe that there's the opportunity to launch at least one product per year from this pipeline over the next 5 years. We're anticipating Tevtropin 10 milligrams this year. We're guiding towards a 2014 launch of Atroxa. We have the Epi in 2015 along with pen number 2 in 2015 together with Teva. In 2016, we anticipate getting the Vibex QST, the testosterone program, on the market together with the first ANDA pen and the unnamed, undisclosed Pfizer OTC product as well in 2016. And then in 2017, we'll be out there with the QSM as well. You can see we're already executing against this strategy, and our long-term growth driver really is going to be launching drugs out of this pipeline and cranking as many through the pipeline as quickly as possible. Priority goals for the next 12 to 18 months have probably captured most of these. The first is that the testosterone product will begin its clinical program. QSM program, which is the third program, is anticipated to be beginning clinical studies in the next 12 to 18 months. We have the first filing on the pen product with Teva. We are talking to potential partners in Europe and beyond for Atrexup. But right now our main goal, our focus is to get the Atrexup product launched successfully here in the United States. One of the successes that we've had at Antares has been absolutely ruthless with respect to executing against a plan. That means we focus on the important things first. And our goal this year is very much to get the approval on Atrexup and then follow that up with a launch soon thereafter. This really is a transformational event for the company. We believe that it's going to be prudently $100 to $200 million in terms of sales for Atrexup, and that really will change the format of our P&L when we see that get to market. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody in the room here for attending. For those of you listening out there, thanks very much, and we'll continue to report on the progress we make this year at other conferences throughout the year. Thank you. Okay. There's a breakout session in the room next door, I believe, so we can go to that.